a flap over the Swiss flag. Police take pointers from the king of pickpockets, and Nepal tests out daring mountain rescues. Those stories and more on this edition of Swiss Info's weekly news roundup. Today's April 30th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jessica Dacey in Bern. The government moved to tackle fat cat salaries in the wake of the financial crisis on April 28th. Steps announced include a new income tax on bonuses above 2 million Swiss francs. Banks such as UBS that need state support will also come under more regulation. The government also felt there was a need to contain the problem of companies that are considered too big to fail. The plans follow mounting public and shareholder pressure over compensation awarded at Switzerland's two largest banks, Credit Suisse and UBS. The government has instructed the finance ministry to come up with draft legislation on the issues by the autumn. On April 27th, a politician warned Switzerland was in danger of becoming a teenage sex tourism destination. Christian Democrat Luc Barthasat has lodged a parliamentary initiative calling for the age of consent among prostitutes to be raised from 16 to 18, in line with Europe. He says the government is taking too long to ratify Council of Europe conventions on the issue, and so is allowing legal loopholes. The scale of teenage prostitution in Switzerland is unclear, though. Across the globe in Nepal, a Swiss helicopter crew rescued three Spanish climbers from a 7,000-meter camp on Annapurna on April 29th. A partnership between Swiss and Nepalese helicopter companies is for the first time making daring rescues possible on Mount Everest and other Himalayan peaks. A crew from Switzerland's Air Zermatt is on standby in the region until June. They have been trained to pluck climbers from a steep slope where there's no place to land. The person is attached to a long line and flown to the nearest landing spot. But the service, now in a trial phase, has come under some criticism. Here's veteran mountaineer Oswald Altz.
You are in part killing the adventure in that someone can now call for a helicopter rescue, and in a few years it might be, as it is now in the Bernese Alps in the Eiger North phase, that if you get in troubles, you just call the helicopter and you are out. And in earlier times, you either had to fight out your way or you died.
Now, just how do you steal a wallet? Swiss police turned to the so-called king of pickpockets, Charlie Borra, for tips to help them crack down on theft. The Austrian magician learned his trade from his father, also a famous magician. Swiss police from around the country filed into a magic congress to learn from the master. Swiss Info's Julie Hunt spoke to him.
Do you often get asked to do things like this, teaching the police?
Yes, very often, yes. I made it always normally in the biggest cities like Copenhagen, Hamburg, Munich, Frankfurt.
How do you find out what the current methods of pickpocketing?
I'm observing these things and I try to make studies in the subways and in the autobuses.
So your message to the public would be?
Open your eyes.
And you can see Charlie Borra in action on our video, Stop Thief. You're listening to Swiss Info's weekly roundup on news and culture in Switzerland. Coming up later, the choir who made it to the finals of a BBC contest. A quick general knowledge question now. Is a Swiss flag square or rectangular? Well, someone who didn't know was the manufacturer of a batch of new flags for the United Nations building in New York. While almost every other flag at the UN is rectangular, Switzerland's is square. And for several weeks, the wrong one stayed up until someone finally noticed. Earlier, I spoke to Michel Walter, a journalist who covered the story for La Liberté newspaper. I first asked him how he came across it.
Well, it's about a month ago, there was a little story in the Sunday paper, Neue Zürcher Zeitung am Sonntag, with a nice picture taken by my colleague from the paper who had been in New York there. And so I thought I should follow the story because I had written a big article in 2002 when Switzerland joined the UN.
And what actually happened?
Apparently, New York climate is very rough. It can be very hot and sometimes very windy, very cold. There is ice. There are hurricanes also sometimes. And the flags have to be replaced here and there. And that's what probably happened. We don't know exactly when it was that they raised the wrong flag, that is a rectangular flag instead of a square flag, as the Swiss flag is.
And this isn't the first time this has happened, though.
No, in 2002, when Switzerland joined the United Nations, there was a kind of, conflict, at least tensions between the UN and Switzerland, because the UN said all our flags must be rectangular, and so your flag has to be rectangular. But Switzerland didn't want that. And legal specialists finally found a solution, because there is another special flag among the 192 members of the United Nations. It's the flag of Nepal, which is formed by two triangles. And so the solution that was found then for Nepal was to say, if the surface is the same, you can have another shape, if the surface is the same as the other flags. So that's what we did with the Swiss flag. And this was accepted, and this worked very well until that incident this year.
Right, exactly, yes. So do you think it's a big mistake that was made
by
the UN?
No, it's not a big mistake. Actually, a few people loved my story and thought this is a surrealistic and it's a funny story. And others said, you're really exaggerating for such a small incident. But I know if it had not been corrected, the Swiss government would have intervened more solidly, with more energy.
Right. And what was the reaction from the UN? What did they say to you?
Well, the UN were very kind. They have apparently a little army of a few soldiers who are in charge of raising or flying the flags. And the head of that little unit said, yes, there has been a mistake. We've asked the manufacturer to make a new flag. And we're sorry about the incident, and he concluding by saying, and now your national flag proudly flies before the UN.
Michel Walter from La Liberté. Now it's time for Out and About, when Swiss Info journalists report from around Switzerland and beyond. A small youth choir of the Swiss-run Jonas Foundation recently moved into the final stages of the BBC Choir of the Year contest. The London choir was started by Swiss expat Christine Siegwart. She began by setting up the Swiss Church Music School in 1997 to give inner-city children in London a creative outlet. When it became a success, she formed the Geneva-based Jonas Foundation. Today it runs thriving creative projects from Paris to Georgia and summer schools in Switzerland. Andrew Littlejohn went along to hear the Jonas Foundation's singers and funky voices rehearse, where he met director Christine Siegwart.
My first role was simply to bring in music into church life.
I'm Diane Bekime. I direct the kids' choir. I was the first student, actually. And my first lessons were with Christine. I used to go to her front room to do my lessons. We had piano lessons. It was great because it was every Wednesday, as I remember it. Always used to come and have a nice glass of milk and the lemon Kipling's cake as well for break. I was looking forward to that more.
The idea of building bridges from one background groups to others, simply bringing these children together, has been very, very fulfilling. And we do this at our music camps, which we still run, mainly in Switzerland. But socializing was always very important to us. Integration in freedom, to step out for your own life and your own right, of course.
My name is Chanel Kiasi and I direct the Jonas Singers Choir. I think the key thing is coming here and seeing a mixture of different ethnicities and cultures, just that mix, it kind of, it just makes you feel comfortable, you know. We don't sort of push anyone away.
The objectives of the Jonas Foundation is very much to fight exclusion. Physical, an illness, an accident might be social, economic, any type, psychological exclusion.
One particular student is always in trouble in school, getting expelled, and I could see why when he first joined. And rather than to say, okay, fine, you can't come again, which would mean he would just end up on the street. So we tried to speak to him and try to understand his way of thinking. And he's the first one to say, oh, why are we closing during summer? It was nice when he asked that, because out of all the students, the one who was here causing disruptions, yeah. He's the one that was like, oh no, we're really closing for summer. No, what am I going to do?
Just to add to that, it's good to also see how the older singers, they know they play a role in sort of influencing the younger kids. So when they come here, as they get older and older, we give them responsibilities like teaching theory, assisting with the choir, maybe taking little groups and doing sort of recorder classes and those kind of things. And seeing them go through school, secondary school, through college, and now having the younger kids hear that is really, really good.
And for me, that's the high points. I always come back to thinking, thanks, Christine.
These various projects goes completely beyond my initial purpose. And I'm very, very happy at the joy, the energy, team spirit and friendship and life, simply.
Andrew Littlejohn reporting from London. From the British capital to Bern, Bern's Jazz Festival gets underway on May 4th. One highlight will be the McCoy Tyner Quartet. The Philadelphia jazz pianist is known for his work with John Coltrane and has had a long solo career. He'll be performing in the Swiss capital with a high-caliber band. We'll play out with his Walk Spirit, Talk Spirit with Gary Bartz on alto saxophone. Thanks for listening. Go to swissinfo.ch to learn more about these stories or to download this program as a podcast. Tune in again next week. I'm Jessica Dacey.